Oh.
Hello, Fight Inside fans, listeners, viewers. We have a very exciting podcast for you today. Today we have a very special guest fighting at Line Fight 66. Tim will be introducing her. We will also be talking about mental health awareness and you know what, in of Mental Health Week that just passed. And also we will be talking about UFC 262, Chandler versus Oliveira. This is going to be a big event and there's tons to talk about. And for our fight on site, we will be picking fighters who've been overcoming the odds, overcoming adversity, and many more. It's going to be a great podcast, everyone. Timmy, hit it.
All right, here we go, Prince. So today our guest has been training in Muay Thai for almost 13 years, competing for 10. She was struggling to find fights in an unpopular weight class, and instead of fighting children, she decided to move to Thailand in 2016, where she trained at Ole Lorsen's gym in Ubon Ratchathani. Now back in Canada with her dog named after Mighty Mick from Rocky, she's balancing working full-time, pursuing a second degree, teaching, all while training full-time. On May 21st, you can see her on UFC Fight Pass as she competes under North America's biggest Muay Thai organization, Lion Fight, in a flyweight battle at Lion Fight 66 in Topeka, Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Gatineau, Quebec, Canada's own Regan Coconut Gowing.
Hey guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to be here with you guys. Thank you for having me on.
Timmy, guys, I gotta do it. Every time there's a fighter that comes on, I gotta do the call out. Regan.
Sorry, Regan.
The Coconut Gowing.
Nice.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Can I tell you, this is the last coconut. I got this from Dominion. Before it was called Metro, Dominion. I picked this up from Dominion.
Nice.
One left, and I was like, wow, it's a sign. I got to go grab it.
You did that for me?
Yeah.
I feel so touched.
Do people not bring coconuts to your fight?
No one. I've never had a coconut.
Only in Fight Inside. Fight Inside podcast. Tim didn't even know about this. I thought of this. This is my idea. Here you go.
Genius.
When you come to Toronto, you need to sign this coconut. This is your coconut. I'm going to have this paid for you. Okay.
A nice moldy coconut by the time Regan's allowed to come over here. That's fine.
I'll freeze it. You'll be fine.
Nice. You can freeze coconuts.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, Regan, welcome to the podcast. We're so happy to have you. We have never had a Lion Fight competitor before, so that is super exciting. And you are our second female guest and our first ever professional Muay Thai fighter,
nice.
I think. Definitely our first female professional Muay Thai fighter. But yeah, awesome. Thank you, Regan, for coming. And it says Mick's mom on your nameplate there. So do you want to just let people know why it says that?
Oh, I just couldn't think of anything funny, but I have my dog. I like to bring him on.
Oh, nice.
Different podcast. This is Mick right here. He's just snoozing. He doesn't really care for interviews or press.
Okay.
Sure. What breed is he, Regan?
He's a French bulldog.
French bulldog. Nice.
Oh, nice.
I've got a Siberian Husky myself. Luckily, I'm you know, it's not barking downstairs. It's actually weird. So let's cross our fingers. So I guess we'll start, Regan. So, I mean, the first question that we want to ask you is, how did you get involved in Muay Thai? And, like, how did you know you wanted to go pro?
Well, I got involved in Muay Thai. It's not really that much of an exciting story. I just, I think, like most people, I was younger. I was probably about 20 when I started training. Before that, I was just working out, going to a gym. I realized I just said out like a true Canadian, by the way. But yeah, so I was doing that. And then a friend of mine mentioned that she does Muay Thai. And I'd always wanted to do boxing or kickboxing. It's something I loved watching, but I never did because I grew up out in the middle of nowhere where we didn't have like boxing gyms. So I went to try a class and I just, it kicked my ass the first time. I remember my calves were sore for like a week after. And and then I just kept going back and became addicted to it. And then I was really, really bad at first. So, and I hate being bad at things. I don't know about you guys. But like it pisses me off.
You get used to it, Regan. It's fine. So it's fine.
I don't. I either quit or I get really good at the thing.
All right.
Yeah. So I kept going back until I started to feel like I was progressing. And then after that, I was, I would work on something new technique, or, you know, get better at knees or clinching. And then I was like, I really want to just try. I want to try to fight. So my very first fight was in Gatineau, actually, at the casino. My first two fights are the only fights where I fought locally. Every other fight has been away. Like, I've never fought in Ottawa. It was against a girl who was like, the fight was at like 120, and I walked around like 100 pounds soaking wet at the time. And I won, but it was just pure aggression. Like, I was just like RoboCop going forward the whole time, like throwing haymakers. Probably not very pretty to see. But after that, I was like, yeah, I really want to keep doing this and see where this goes.
Wow. And yeah, so I guess crazy. With Muay Thai, you just got obsessed. You just totally got locked in. You're like, I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, because it's very rare that I find something I'm good at. So I worked really hard to get good at this. And I was like, well, there's no going back. This is the only thing now.
Wow.
That's crazy. And so we mentioned in the intro that you fight at flyweight. So what weight, for those that don't know, what weight class is that?
It depends on, like, different organizations have different, like, they have different names for, or the same name for different weight classes. But for Lion Fight, it's the light flyweight category is 110 and under.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because when I read it in the UFC, flyweight is 125.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that doesn't seem like you'd only be able to find small people to fight. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's in Lion Fight. So what I used to, or what my natural weight class would be an atom weight or a pin weight, which is like 105 and under, or I've fought at like 100 and under, 100 pounds and under, or 45 kilograms. So I've actually gone up so that I can fight in a professional organization like Lion Fight, because they don't have anything lower than that.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, talking about your training and about, you know, growing as a martial artist, you train with other great female fighters. We see it on your Instagram, and we'll post all your Instagram links and any links you want us to. We'll put it in the YouTube comments so that people can find you, but definitely, you know, people look for Regan. You train with other professional fighters. So you've trained before with Taylor McClatchy. She just won a title at Lion Fight. So congratulations to her. And you train with Ashley Nichols currently, who's a great competitor. And we follow her here on the podcast as well. So how has it been training with, you know, other professional female fighters? And like, how has that helped you develop?
Well, I mean, like, Taylor and I go way back. I remember like her first TBA tournament, if you guys know what that is. It's like this big tournament down in Iowa for Muay Thai. Before we had more sanctioning bodies up here, that's where we all the Canadians would go to compete and get experience. I remember her first tournament there. It was my like third tournament, and she was just a little baby, and she just went out and she just KO'd all her division, and I was so proud of her. Yeah, so just like we've been really good friends for a while, and to have her there to train and to see her development as we go, too, it's amazing. And Ashley, I trained with Ashley because she moved down from Cambridge a few years ago, and we trained together before I went to another gym, and then I came back actually just this past year, and so we've been training together, and it's just amazing to have her. She's like the highest caliber Muay Thai athlete in Canada, like let alone female athlete. She's like the best Muay Thai fighter in my opinion, and many other opinions in Canada. And to have her beat me up regularly, it's really great. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
Wow. And so in Regan, so I mean, in Muay Thai now, what do you think so far? You mean you've been doing it for so long, and what are some of your proudest moments? So what are the, you know, you could say, hey, you know what, these are my shining moments. This is, you know what, it made me so happy about being in the sport.
I have pretty much, I mean, every one of my fights lends experience and it gives me something to be proud of or something to learn from. I think my favorite fights are, I don't know. I think my shining moment was probably my first professional, or my professional debut on Lion Fight, which was, holy, COVID's got me all messed up, guys. It was 2019. Alexis, my opponent, will kill me if I get the date wrong. But it was, I believe it was the end of September or beginning of October in 2019. I was so excited and elated to be on this show, because when I was just starting out fighting amateur, like when I had like just a few fights, I remember watching like the Lion Fight fighters, and just like that was my goal. Like I wanted to be a professional fighter. I wanted to be on this with this organization, because they're like the biggest in North America, and now they're like all over Europe. They're huge. So to be able to like walk out and like be on like TV fighting professionally for this organization that I admired and had been following for so long was crazy.
But Regan, you know what, the cool thing I saw, I mean, online was you sitting down, I think you were drinking coffee or something, and you had like a Thai belt on you. I guess you were, casually, yeah, I just took two belts down here, no sweat. You guys have any cream? Any cream? You know, I was like, whoa, that's so cool. And fighters down there is no joke, right? So, I mean, that's, yeah. I thought that was awesome.
If anyone deserves cream, it's the champ, right? like what the heck, you know?
And I needed it. I fought at 100 pounds for that belt. So I definitely wanted the cream in my coffee after.
Man, 100 pounds. Like, Tim, I can't even remember when I was last 100 pounds. I think it was like 5.
Yeah, Prince is a big boy. The camera doesn't explain what it was like.
You're not gonna need this coconut anymore. You're just gonna get
it. You can eat my coconut, Prince.
This thing's gonna be worth a lot. What are you doing?
It's organic, man. I didn't cheap out either.
Oh, it's definitely gonna be rotten when I get there.
yeah. Regan, so in the intro as well, I mentioned that you work full time. And so this is crazy, okay, because what a small world it is that when we started talking, you and I actually work in the same industry. So what a small world that is. But you work a 9-to-5 job, like a desk job. Obviously, I mean, I guess you can't hide it from your coworkers. I mean, they all must know. You know, walking into the office one day with like bruises and cuts and bandages. How is that? Like, how is it being a professional fighter? How has your coworkers, how do they think of it? I mean, it's crazy, no?
Yeah, I guess it is. Luckily, I work, I chose to work for this organization because everybody's just super, they're just amazing people. Okay. And I don't deal directly with clients. I only deal with them on the phone, so no client ever has to like see my face if it's messed up. But my coworkers, like there's some of the most supportive people in the world. I was supposed to fight in Ottawa a few years ago, it didn't end up happening, but like I had everyone in my office buy a ticket to come see me fight.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they were great. I had to refund most of them because I wasn't fighting, but they wanted to come.
yeah No, that's amazing. But I mean, because I remember, Prince, like anytime, like, you know, if I was going to start a new job or if I had something, like I would pause on all the sparring and stuff like that, because I'm like, I can't walk into a new job with like, you know, bruises and cuts or like limping on the first day of work, you know. So you kind of got to like ease that into a conversation.
But you know what, Tim, the mental picture that I get when I see Regan would be going into office like Fight Club, when Edward Norton comes in the office, sits down, and the person goes, "How's your day?" and starts squirting out blood out of his teeth. He goes, "Do you remember that scene? Please refer back."
Have you done that, Regan?
I have not. The worst one was when I came back from my last fight and I had got cut here, so I had stitches, and it was quite swollen, and I just went to work when I got back after that weekend. So I came in with like this swollen eye, like stitches, like 7 stitches going down my eyebrow.
Yeah.
But everybody knew where I was on the weekend, so they didn't ask me any questions.
Oh man! But Tim, you guys have to say, like, I mean, you know, sometimes it'd be so cool just you that one dream, that wish, you just go into work and you just got a bunch of battle scars, and then you just want that one coworker to go, man, like, Prince, Tim, are you guys okay? And like literally, what do you do? I walk straight through a door.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's crazy.
All right.
Oh yeah. So okay. Sorry, I had to go on straight to my bad. You know what?
He was trying to segue into the next question, but yes. He just like dead stop.
Dead stop. Oh my goodness. Okay, so your next fight is Friday, May 21st in Topeka, Kansas, against Yasmin Salini. We'll be live on UFC Fight Pass. What can we expect? Like, what package are you going to bring in there, Regan? Tell us. Like, what I've seen some of your fights, and man, the kicks, the elbows, the punches, you're in there trying to knock that person out with bad intentions. That's the new term I've got from the last fight that we had. Bad intentions, all bad intentions. So what do we expect? Like, we are going to be sitting there. What package are you going to bring in?
I think that's exactly what I'm intending on bringing in. And I think that the really cool thing about this fight is my opponent is a very, like, not that, I mean, most of my opponents are very skilled fighters, but Yasmin is really exciting to watch too. And she's very aggressive, and it's just been fun to watch her progress over her career as well. But yeah, I've been really focusing. Lately I've been more of a counter fighter, I find, but I've really been focusing on, I'm still using those types of skills, but like with very like tactical aggression. Mm-hmm. So from start to finish, I want like pure action. Yeah, just working on a lot of things that were missing before and just adding them in. So it's just going to be pretty much action packed from start to finish. And, yeah, I don't think either of us get tired, so it's going to be a hell of a fight.
Yeah, you see how she's like, she's really quiet about her game plan. She's like,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be fun. I'm going to hide coconuts in my glove.
I think they check for that, Princey.
You know, you could hide it. You know, you could hide it, so it'll be fine.
So, yeah, no, I mean, and I will say, because Regan, like when we watch you fight, I very, very impressive in terms of how aggressive you are, right? Like your combos are always followed up with kicks. You're saying you're a counter puncher, but like you're throwing first a lot of the time, and you're throwing hard, you're throwing fast. Like, it's very impressive to watch you fight. Like, it's very, very good, because sometimes you watch people fight and you're like, you got to be more aggressive. You got to go for it. But with you, there is no stopping. Like, it's just, you're going for that win, right?
Yeah.
And so what's next after this fight? Like, when you win this fight?
Yeah. So when I win this fight, I would, my plan is, and what I'm trying to convince Scott to do, Scott Zare's the matchmaker for Lion Fight. So my last fight that I lost because I got cut, the doctor stopped the fight because I was bleeding into my own eye. It was a good call, but it was a title fight that I had lost. My opponent ended up like winning the fight because of the cut, but she didn't get the title because she didn't make the weight that time. She was just like a pound off, but like it was strange. Right. Anyway, so what I want to do, my plan is like to redeem myself for that fight, because I know I could have won it. So I want to, after I win this fight, I want that title shot for the North American title, because it like slipped out of my fingers. And after that, I want the world title. So there is, Lisa Brearley has it right now at 110 for Lion Fight. So my plan is to call that lovely lady out to get her title.
Man, Regan, I thought you were gonna make a big announcement. It's like, guys, I'm gonna make a big announcement. I've decided to enter the UFC. Be a mixed martial art. An MMA fighter. I've decided to, you know, switch it all up. Everyone's getting choked out.
I would get demolished. I've done 3 jiu-jitsu classes in my life.
And how was that?
Well, remember what I told you? Like, if I'm not good at something, I quit, or I, or I'm really stubborn. But I need to focus on Muay Thai. I'll come back to it, and I'll get good.
No, yeah, she's gonna bring home the North American Lion Fight title, and then go get that world title, right, Regan?
Yes.
Yes. That
is the plan. You got this, Regan. Trust me, you're gonna take it, and then when you get bored over there, you're gonna be like, ha. We'll go to UFC, kick some other more people over. Here we come.
Immediate choke out. I will be choked out immediately.
Yeah, that's okay.
We haven't entered the octagon yet.
Yeah. She got choked out on the walkout.
She tapped out on the walkout. Yeah,
it's amazing.
I told you to remove those drapes. God dang it. The fighters are getting caught. We didn't even get out. And she lost her coconut.
So Regan, again, super appreciative of you coming on. Like, this is so amazing. We are all going to watch you again, guys. It's on UFC Fight Pass. That's really cool too, right, Regan? That Lion Fight has moved over to Fight Pass. I mean, that's amazing. That's a huge audience that UFC Fight Pass has, and they promote things like crazy. So congratulations on that. That it's amazing that you're in Lion Fight. We're all going to be supporting you. Huge, big time. Before we let you go, we did ask the fans for some questions. So we have a few that we just want to rhyme off to you, if you can give us some fast answers here. Prince, you want to start with the first one?
Yeah. Regan, first question. What food do you crave after making weight? Please don't say coconuts.
Tequila.
I'm just kidding.
Tequila? Is that how you put the weight back on?
Yeah.
So what's the food that you crave after making weight? Like, what's your
after making weight? I don't drink after making weight. I don't really have any cravings. I usually just, you know, I eat what makes my body feel good for the fight. So it's usually pretty boring, guys.
All right.
Not a pizza, nothing, or cheesecake?
Oh, no.
No.
All right, scrap that question. Next question. Where did the nickname coconut come from?
So this isn't even going to be interesting, because I don't even know for sure. I think one day it's super boring. It's not even a cool coming of age story or like. I think I just smelled like coconut one day because I had this body wash that I used after class, and it made the whole change room area smell like coconuts. And then my coaches Mark and Jeff at the time were like, okay, that's your name. You're coconut.
Hey, that's a pretty cool story, though. That's okay. It came from somewhere. That's okay.
Regan, I thought you were cracking coconuts or something. That's what you were training.
Yeah, about. Like in Thailand, right?
That's my new plan. That's my new goal.
Yeah, you know what? When maybe in your lion fights, maybe you should start bringing in a bag of coconuts. Like, you know, Jake the Snake. Remember how he used to bring walk in there with bags of coconuts and then just hand them out.
Yeah, you can throw them into the crowd.
Check your blood sugar first.
Prince, you should be my PR person.
I should. And there'd be just like, and then there'd be a group of fans would be like, so where's the coconuts? And we're like, oh God, due to budget cuts, we might have to cut this in half. Pass it out.
Yeah. Next question. This is we got this from two people actually, Regan, so I apologize for asking you this. What is your relationship status?
So first I need to know, was Natalie one of them?
No, they were both guys. One of them may be at the gym that we train at. So yeah. I see.
Well, I am in a relationship with my boyfriend Carl, who is he's a really great guy. I don't know if he'd want me to talk too much about him, but
all right. All right, well, that's that answer. And the last question from Robbie was, and I think you've already answered this, but are there any MMA aspirations beyond Lion Fight?
I don't think so.
No,
sorry,
strictly strictly Muay Thai, Muay Thai champion for Canada, right?
Yep.
Or even start slow, maybe Bellator or something, or just.
Crazy, I've done 3 jiu-jitsu classes.
That's good enough, man. Put somebody in a gelatin and put somebody in tempura. You're good to go.
The gelatin.
Regan, this has been awesome. Guys, before we started the interview, Regan said, oh, I might be a boring interview. You are not a boring interview at all. Like, really great. We're so happy to have you. Before we let you go, and again, thank you so much for coming on, is there anything that you wanted to say or anything that you wanted to share?
I mean, please check out my sponsors, Garage Gym Guys on Instagram, at Garage Gym Guys, and my friend Brad, who is a real estate agent, always supportive, buywithbrad.ca. And just thank you to pretty much everyone who's been supporting me and just helping me train and just even just giving words of encouragement throughout the years. It's been really amazing. So it means a lot. And thank you guys for having me. You've been great.
Hey, no worries. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Regan. And you know what? Good luck on May 21st and kick butt and kick coconuts.
Yes.
Yes. Regan, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. We will see you again when you win that title. We want to have you back on so you can show everybody and show us that title.
I'll be there.
All right. Thanks, Regan. Have a wonderful day. Good luck training. Good luck on the fight.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, dude. Bye, guys.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
How cool is that, man?
Nice, man.
She was great. Man. I'll tell you, she was selling her shirts on her Instagram. Mm. It's just so funny because, like I said, like she's a 9-to-5 office worker, right? But then at nighttime, she's like a full-time killer Muay Thai fighter. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look it, right? Like, when you look at her, you know. And then her shirt, it was so cool. It's like, want blood. And then it's like a fist with a splatter on it. It's a really cool t-shirt. Like, as a tank top, it looked amazing, man. I really like it.
She should have said, like, got blood. Like, got milk. Got Wait. Blood.
I think it is something like that, but it's really cool. Anyways, guys, we will put the links to her Instagram and all that, but just look her up, Regan Gowing. You'll find her. Really awesome. So thanks, Regan, for coming on. Prince, we're going to talk about a few other things. So shoot. All right.
Yeah. So you know what? In light of Mental Health Week, we wanted to talk about mental health awareness. And, you know, it's with given the situation right now, Tim, and you know, things that's been happening in terms of the pandemic, in terms of how it's been affecting everyone's mental health. You know what? I think it's something that definitely we should talk about and something that should, you know, even our listeners and our viewers, you know, it's something that, you know, we should come to light and talk about in terms of how do we address it? How do we, you know, overcome it and, you know, stay resilient, right? And so, I mean, Tim, what I actually wanted to ask you was, you know, in terms of, okay, actually, you know what, since the pandemic started, what are some of the biggest obstacles or, you know, things that you've had to overcome just to get through this, like, you know, such a horrible, horrible time of the year? I mean, it's more than a year now, right?
So, yeah, you can't even believe it, right? I don't know. I guess, you know, obviously the easy answer there is just like not being able to go to the gym and train, right? Like, for myself, for myself and my wife, you know, we train together. Like, we train at P4P together. It was something that we've always done together, our whole relationship. It's something that brings us together, energizes us, you know, keeps us healthy, gives us something to do. Losing that outlet is very difficult, right? Like, you really get into a slump, you really feel bad. Our friends, right? Like, I mean, you and me would see each other, you and I would see each other all the time. All of our friends, you know, Robbie Hot Sauce Moss that was on the podcast, all our buddies, you know, it's difficult, man. That's a really, really difficult thing. I think that probably the loss of your social network and the loss of your physical activity, which is so detrimental to your health, you know, not just your physical health, but your mental health, right? Because it just makes you feel good. You know, you got to look good to feel good, you know? So, that's tough. What about you?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's one of the biggest things is just because I have a routine, Tim. Like, for me, it's like Saturday morning it's the best. Saturday morning, I get up early. I get up at seven. At like seven, drink my coffee and just get ready, right? Get ready to drive, driving up the 404, driving up the 404, music blaring, listening to Whitney Houston, and things like that. Just going up there, turning, making a right on Major Mac, and it's just, it's game time, and you pull up and you just see everybody, and then seeing you, Robbie, all the members over at P4P, it's just, all the boys over there, it's just like, the fact that that's gone, it's tough. And I mean, online, it's different. It's not the same feel. And so that's been really difficult, right? And that social interaction piece, I feel like since that's been out of my schedule, it's hit me a great deal, right? So,
And I think it's hard, because actually someone that we both know recently, I think, went through a significant mental health issue. And so, of course, to that person, we wish the best to them and that they get the help that they need. But, I was looking up some stats. 1 in 5 people in Canada personally experience a mental health problem or illness in any given year. Mm-hmm. That's huge, right? 1 in 5. 8% of adults will experience major depression at some point in their lives. Mm-hmm. By age 40, 50% of the population will have had a mental illness. Like, those are crazy numbers.
But you know what's crazy too, Tim, is that, I mean, the numbers after the pandemic, so they've done a study, CAMH actually did a study. So CAMH is Center of Addiction and Mental Health. And so basically they did a study post-pandemic. I mean, not actually post-pandemic, I mean, the first month of the pandemic, and see how the rates have been in terms of depression, anxiety, and addictions. All of them have been up, right? And so it's just, the lack of resources, lack of support, the fact that, even prior to the pandemic, the wait list to get counseling supports has been off the roof.
So let me drop another stat at you. Like, you say that the wait list to get help is off the roof. The stat that I saw, 50% who feel that they have suffered from depression have not sought out a doctor.
Yep.
So imagine, with all the backlog and like with the wait list, like you're talking about, and that's only 50% of the people that are suffering, right? So tough.
It is. And you know what, a part of it too is the stigma and discrimination around it too, right? A lot of people just don't want to reach out, and it's not a priority, so they kind of, they keep themselves reserved, they minimize the situation, they minimize the whole, even their feelings, what they're going through.
Yeah.
And so, that's part of, the struggles that we're dealing with now. But, Tim, what I wanted to ask you, so what have you been actually doing to help yourself, stay up, like be, feel good, stay happy, or, fight through some of these feelings and actually, stay resilient?
I mean, this podcast, Prince, right? Like,
yes.
In all honesty, this was like, for us, this was like a hobby, right? Like it was during the course of the pandemic. And again, I got to give a huge shout out to my buddy, John at Heroes World Online, Heroes World Podcast, check it out. It was during the pandemic that he and his comic book store started to do a little bit more of a podcast to try and just, engage their customers and do something. I started to do that. I had always kind of wanted to do an MMA podcast. And then, during that podcast, you're kind of down. There's not really much to do. So kind of like focusing my energies on something that I could do, like a hobby that I could do while secluded or while quarantined at home. Doing that's been something good. Like, it's been an outlet for my energy. Trying to convince my wife to play games with me. I'll tell you, man, we bought, again, shout out to Heroes World, but I bought like a lot of board games. I bought a lot of, games.
Zoom in on
this
that.
This is King Domino. You can see that. That's a really good game. 2 players. My computer right now is stacked on a bunch of things. Sushi Roll, Santorini, Sushi Go Party. I don't know. What else do you want? I got tons of things, man. Challenge of the Super Friends. This is a pretty funny card game. Boss Monster.
Concierge of a board
game. Yeah, man. I got tons. But, just anything to do, man, to keep your mind going. It's so easy to fall into a rut, you know? So you just got to find things to kind of keep your mind going, reading books, you know, stuff like that, listening to podcasts, you know, just trying to get that social interaction. And I really do feel bad for the people that, you know, live alone, or maybe who have difficult family lives. And then this kind of quarantine has caused people to stay at home and really, deal with that even more so than probably they would have needed to if they were able to go out. So, you know, my heart goes out to people. But you know, you got to just find things to do. I don't know. What did you do, Prince?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, again, like this podcast has been like amazing. Like it's been a great, this one distraction and also great, like a hobby, right? Like, I mean, it's been so amazing. It's funny how far we've come, right? From the very first podcast to now, right? So, you know, it's amazing to, you know, how we've, you know, developed throughout the months. And so this thing has been great. But also, I mean, shout out to my girlfriend. I mean, Erica, she's been amazing. She's been actually, we've been going for walks. You know, if you can, we go for long drives. And yeah, it's been, you know, I tried cooking here and there. So I mean, I burnt stuff. And so that counts, right? But I mean,
no, it still counts.
Right. So, you know, I've been doing that. And and it's been great. And you know what, Tim, you make a really good point. I mean, people who are by themselves, who do live alone or does not have, you know, the internet connection or the online connection that most people have, it's just, you know, I hope they're getting the support that they can, just because it's a lot harder for them as well, right? So, for me, it's definitely, one of the biggest things is building my own gym. My gosh, Tim, I've got a whole slew of gym equipment. Like now I'm obsessed about gym equipment. I've got half racks, a bench press. I've got like a cycling bike. I've got my whole Muay Thai bag as well. I got the floor mats.
Nice.
I've got the bells. Like it's the works, man. And I'm constantly online looking for more. Right. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, I'll tell you the worst thing that hit me, that hit my wife and I, was that we were getting married last year. Mm-hmm. And when the pandemic hit in February, end of February, early March, you know, you're like, oh, it's going to be over like in a couple of weeks, right? So we'll be okay. And then as it got worse and worse, we realized that our wedding was not going to take place, or it definitely wasn't going to take place to the extent that we wanted it to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thankfully, thank God, it just so happened that we were able to get married with 10 of our closest friends and family, in the church that we wanted to, at having a reception at the restaurant that we wanted to. Now, it wasn't in any way the size that we had wanted. And, you know, a lot of people were missing that, you know, we cared a lot for and that we wanted to be there, but at least we were able to have that. It was tough though. It was really sad that we weren't able to do it the way that we wanted, you know? And then I'll tell you, you know, seeing some people that weren't able to have theirs at all, that theirs were unfortunately planned during the periods when it was still in full lockdown. I feel for those people too, right? So we were lucky. We dodged a bullet. We were able to get it done, and we're so happy that we did, because this year isn't any better, you know? But yeah, tough. What about for you? Like what was one of the toughest things for you too?
Some of the toughest things, I think it was just, well, I mean, I work as a nurse. And so, I mean, some of the toughest things is just, you know, seeing the things that, you know, hearing some of the things that, you know, that you saw, you hear at work, right? The sad story of loved ones. I mean, it's just constant. And it's like Monday to Friday, that's all you hear, right? You know, losing a mom, losing a dad, losing, you know, a sister, a brother, you know, someone close to you, right? And so, that was some of the toughest things, right? That, you know, getting through that. And it's funny because you, one day you're talking to one person and the next they're gone, right? So that's one of the biggest things too. Because I mean, none of us has gone through a pandemic. I mean, literally, unless you're 100 plus that's lived through the Spanish flu, which is right. I mean, there's I don't know if you saw the segment in Sunnybrook, there was actually one person who got the vaccine who actually lived through the Spanish flu. And
can you imagine?
Yeah, and she's gone through the second round as well. But I mean, again, this is brand new to us, and so, you know, we'll get through it. First, we'll get through it. We're going to look back at this thing and say, hey, holy crap, look at this, Tim, look what we did. Like, look at, like, you know, how we overcame this adversity, right?
That's right. And you know, Prince, I think on a few points, like you said at the beginning, you know, mental health, it affects everybody, right? It affects people of all ages, all ethnicity, all income levels, right? It there's no discrimination. But it's important that, you know, that you seek help or that you look for help. I also think that, you know, we were talking to Dr. Jim about it at the end of the other podcast and we kind of brought it up, but I think, you know, in a way, perhaps the quarantine, you know, it seems to have increased rates and things like that, but there is a thought that perhaps, you know, at least because of the pandemic, it's kind of caused these symptoms to kind of maybe exaggerate to the point where now people do get help though. So there is that kind of like off saying like, hey, if this was something that was kind of floating there just below the surface, and if it took this pandemic to bring it to the surface, but then you get help, you know, there is some silver lining there. So yeah, our hearts go out to everybody.
Yeah, well, you know what? The government's flooding more money into mental health supports as well. I mean, even for kids, especially kids that are on lockdown that's not going to school, they're putting in more mental health workers into that. And so, I mean, we're working towards it. It's just learning how to adapt, right? Learning to, you know, and now it's more virtual. So you're doing a lot more virtual learning and a lot more virtual online sessions. So I think that's the new stage of evolution for us, right? Learning how to, you know, communicate this way and, you know, actually developing our communication skills and our active listening, right? That's really working on those skills.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, but thanks, Prince. Like, I really appreciate doing the podcast with you. I know it started out as a hobby and now it feels like almost like a part-time job, but it's good, man.
But Tim, so when are we gonna? When do I expect my benefits? Like, I should we talk? Maybe we should talk about this after, eh? Like,
well, yeah, you want to talk about money? Who spent money on that organic coconut? Now that I probably got a chip in half for, and I was not consulted on that purchase. So, yeah, you know, some of these business decisions we gotta start figuring this stuff out.
Tim, I actually put a down payment on this. I actually paid. We'll talk about
nothing.
It.
Let's talk. Nothing.
That's not important. Let's move on to the next topic.
All right, next topic. Let's talk about. We're doing okay on time. Before we move on to the fight on site, let's just talk about UFC 262 for a sec, Prince. Two fights. Let's talk about the two main fights. The co-main is Beneil Dariush versus Tony Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Huge fight. Because Tony Ferguson, unfortunately, slightly on a little bit of a downward spiral, whereas Dariush is definitely meeting him on his upward spike. Mm-hmm. Who do you got in that fight?
I think Ferguson's gonna make a comeback. I think honestly, he's gonna turn it around. He's gonna make it a comeback. I know the Oliveira fight really, you know, that was like. Man, it was such a punch in the gut. It was like it was a tough loss for him, but I mean, I think Tony Ferguson will come back, and you'll just see the animal come back out. The stamina, like his stamina, Tim. Tony Ferguson's stamina and his strength.
Oh yeah, yep.
What? Like unheard of. Like nuts. Yeah. Like guy has like his. There is no tank. It's just
yeah. Right? You know, in classic Fight Insight style, I'm going to go against you here, Prince. I've said this story so many times on the podcast. I apologize. I've been to King's MMA. My wife and I stood at the cage, you know, watching the professional fighters. And I'll tell you, the one that impressed us, the one that shocked us the most, we were sitting on the cage and we would hear... Like you just heard like smack, smack, my cat's freaking out. You heard smack, smack. It was like really loud every now and then. And then we looked over and we saw it, and it was Beneil Dariush just kneeing guys. Like, I'm like, this is your sparring day. Like you're killing these guys. It was so hard. He was so strong. He was very impressive. And this was just kind of before he went on this run that he's on now. Yeah. Seems like a super nice guy too when you see him in the interview. So I really love that. I always love the guys that are polite and respectful, like our last guest, Bam Bam, right? Those kind of guys are always such, you know, like really people that you really like. Man, I think Dariush is going to take it. I think I don't know that Tony's going to be mentally prepared for this. I think Dariush is on a very positive trend. We haven't talked yet. This is one of our items that we were going to talk about long ago, but like with the gyms and stuff like that, and gyms go on like streaks. Like you see like a gym start to win a lot of fights. And Marvin Vettori was training at King's MMA. I think Dariush is going to ride that wave and ride that, you know, that positive trend. And I think Dariush is going to pull it off. I don't know. My vote is Dariush. Your vote is
Tony's going to take it. I think it's going to be a knockout. I think Tony's just going to throw something out there and bam, he's down to the floor. That's what I got Tony.
Main event. You got Charles Oliveira. He's on like a 39 fight win streak or whatever the heck he's on, like massive win streak. And then you've got Michael Chandler, who comes off of his Bellator, well, his UFC debut from being a longtime Bellator guy, champion there. He beat Hooker in his inaugural fight with UFC. Who do you got in this one for the lightweight title? First new champion in forever now that Khabib is gone.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, look, like this is going to be I'm excited for this fight because Oliveira, he's the bonus king because he's got like bonuses up the wazoo, like all his pushes and all his submissions. But you know what? I have something. Chandler, he looks good. I honestly think he's going to be the one to take it. He's just got a lot of fire. He's been dominating the Bellator game. I mean, he's been at Bellator for almost 10 years. Comes over here, knocks out Danny Hooker.
Yeah.
You saw that. That wasn't right. That was like the knockout. I wish they stopped it as soon as he threw the first punch. It was like disgusting. But Chandler, like, you know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of the old school. Remember when Chad Mendes, Frankie Edgar, Uriah Faber, that generation of fighters, those guys.
He's got that stockyish build. He's got that wrestling base, but that good strike, powerful striking, right?
Yes.
Princey, I am going to go against you again, buddy. People are going to think that we set this up, but we do not. We did not even talk about this at all.
Oh no! This is we do our research. We know who we want, and we both want the opposite.
I'm going Oliveira, man. I would love to see Oliveira again win the fight because he is, you know, a guy who has been grinding in the UFC forever. He never had a title shot. Here he comes. He finally makes it in. I think he's a tough out for anybody. I think he's very seasoned. He's very calm, cool, and collected. I think, you know, Chandler, yes, he came in, made the big splash with the knockout over Hooker. But I think Oliveira's pretty slick. I think he's going to be able to push the pace. I think he's going to be able to keep his long jab. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to avoid the power shots. And I think if it goes to the ground, he's going to take him. If it stays on the feet, I think he's going to take it. I got Oliveira on this one.
You know why this matchup is so exciting? Because Oliveira, I mean, if he comes out of shoot boxing, like right out of Brazil, and his last fight with Tony Ferguson, you just saw his arsenal of weapons. He's not just a submission guy. He's, you know, punching, knocking, the works, right?
Yep.
So that for me, that it's going to be an exciting match. But Chandler, right? The fight, like when I see Chandler, when Chandler stepped into the scene, it reminded me of, remember when Anderson Silva first showed up and he fought
Leben,
right? Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, this guy's going to get destroyed. Yep, send him packing. Even Chris said, yeah, send this guy packing. And bam, like, I was shocked. I was like, yo, what's going on? Who is this guy? I think Chandler. That's crazy. Chandler, two fights in, and bam, I'm the champ. And then who knows? Maybe someone might have to come out of retirement.
You came really close to the camera there as if, like, you were announcing your...
Yeah, I wish, man, Tim...
Khabib's not coming out of retirement. Get out of here. Then... What if he's not coming out of retirement?
We heard a fight inside. It was us. We said it first.
The next fight for whoever is champion here is obviously fighting the winner of Connor and Dustin, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be the next fight, which is a great fight. And then the two losers could fight, and that's a great fight. Like, you've got so many good fights now in the division. Plus, you've got Gaethje just sitting there waiting around for his victory, right? So Gaethje is a good fight for all these guys too. It's a very nice stacked division. Excited to see that, man. All right. Sorry, I had to open the blinds for my cat. He was getting upset that I had shut them. I didn't want you to start hearing him banging on the glass. All right.
You're running into a place. Like, all you're just like...
Yeah. Do you want to do our fight on site now?
All right. Yes. Okay. All so right. Fight on site. So our fight on site edition will be for this episode. We will be talking about fighters who've overcome great adversity and have come on top. So, Tim, I guess, you know what? Why don't I go first?
Go ahead. Yeah, okay. Man.
So you know what? So the fighter that I've chosen is the one and only Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, Big Nog.
Big Nog.
Big Nog. So heavyweight UFC interim champion. So not a lot of people know about this I think this is one of the biggest things that, you know, that comes out of his story is that at age 10, he was actually accidentally hit by a truck. It was at a party, at his family's party, and he got hit by a truck reversing. And so he actually, he got into this accident. So then he ended up going into the hospital. He spent 11 months in the hospital. He was in a coma for 4 days. You know, he lost a rib, and he also a part of his liver as well. While this happened, and you know, it was like a poor prognosis for him. People thought that he wasn't going to make it, but at the end of it, he came on top, and he was able to, you know, overcome this crazy accident, right? The thing is that I only heard about this this incident. It was through an interview with Crow Cop. There was actually an interviewer that was, you know, picking at Nogueira. So like, oh, Nogueira's trash, like all this. And Crow Cop was actually the one who said, don't you ever talk about my opponent that way. And he talked about that incident, and I had to Google it. And that always stuck in my head because the respect from other fighters towards this man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's astronomical, right? So yeah, my pick is Big Nog.
All right.
Big Nog.
Yeah, so I wrote it down. I didn't know what we were essentially naming it. But, you know, again, we're trying to tie it into the fact that we had the Mental Health Awareness Week and Mental Health Awareness Month. So we're doing inspirational stories. And I think as a result of this, too, we are going to have the vote up on our Instagram page. So, guys, go to our Instagram on Saturday to vote between Prince's pick and mine. But out of respect, we're not going to do the fight on site. Fight Insight, Fight Simulator today.
Oh,
right?
No,
yeah, we're doing, yeah. So my pick for inspirational story is Tracy Cortez. So this one is an inspirational story. If you know who she is, she's new to the UFC. I think she's 3 fights in now, maybe, but she's 8-1 in the UFC. She came off Dana White's Contender Series. But if you see her on her left shoulder, and I couldn't find a photo with a good image of it, but she's got a tattoo, and like, it looks like it's like a sunset kind of beach thing. And there's a guy, and it's like a image of a guy, and he's wearing what looks like almost like a t-shirt that says UFC. So, if you look into the story, her brother, when she was young, her brother was a mixed martial artist and actually fought UFC veteran Drew the Master Fickett. Old school guy, fought him, was destined, or, you know, had always dreamt of making it to the UFC. After he fights Drew Fickett, he ends up having some cardiovascular problems or some issues, and ends up having, I think it's germ cell cancer. And he passes away within a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, obviously as a young girl, the younger sister of this guy, you know, really devastated by it, depression and things like that. And she goes in and talks about it. You know, you can find interviews and things where she talks about it. But she uses that as motivation to come back. And she then trains as a fighter. And she's actually friends with Henry Cejudo, Triple C, and Henry Cejudo's brother. And so they're close, and they train together. And so she's overcome that adversity. And that's why she has the tattoo of her brother always as a memory. You know, but going through something like that, very difficult, and coming out of it the other end, and, you know, using it to make you stronger and things like that. I think that's a very inspirational story. And so congratulations to her. So that is my pick for Fight on Sight. So Saturday we will put up these 2 fighters, and we'll look for a vote. Prince, last week I demolished you. It was almost 100% I won. So I'm very impressed.
Tim, you know why, right? Because no one knew who my guy was.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, who is this person? But they know about Tito. He was the one who brought the UFC to light.
Yeah.
Like, so popular.
So I'm slowly clawing my way back. I think we're like 7-3 now. So I'm still getting demolished, but you know, close. Prince, I think that's it for today. We have not been alone on the podcast for what feels like a long time, because we've had so many guests, and Bam Bam stayed with us the whole time, which was amazing. Guys, if you have not watched the podcast with Bam Bam, I really do think it's probably one of our best. That guy was amazing, super fun, and he stayed with us the whole time. Regan was amazing. Very happy to have her, and we wish she could have stayed for the whole podcast too. But she's in training, and you know, she's focused on her fight. So we're glad that she could even spend the amount of time with us. Prince, we did have our giveaway contest, which is now over as of Wednesday, and we're going to be picking the winner soon. So that was our giveaway contest with Slice of Fire in Markham. So we really appreciate the partnership there, and we're going to be doing the draw for the winner soon. We just got to plug in all the names and do all that. Next week, can I announce who we have as our guest?
Go ahead, Timmy.
Guys, this is crazy. We have UFC bantamweight Ashley Rebel Girl Evans-Smith. She is coming on the podcast. Guys, she's currently sidelined with a surgery. She's back in training. As homework for next week's podcast, you got to go listen to a couple of her podcasts. Her podcast is really good. I'm not going to say it's better than ours, Prince.
You can't. Come on.
But it is really good. It's really good, man. Go check out her podcast. It's called Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl, and it's a good podcast, man. I've been listening to a lot of that for the last little bit, and definitely listen to a few before you get to our podcast next week. But we're very happy and excited to welcome her. That is really cool. And then the week following that, Prince ED, do you know who's coming?
I think you better make the announcement, buddy.
You're not sure?
Yeah. I'm like,
it is your best friend and mine.
Dr. Jimmy
is coming back, and he's going to be talking about CTE. So, you know, stay tuned for those few, and we have tons and tons of guests lined up. Prince, if people want to be a guest on our show, if people want to find us, where can they find us?
Okay, so guys, you can find us at YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, TikTok, Fight Inside Podcast. And if you want to get on the podcast, you can email us at fightinsidepod@gmail.com. Yeah, guys, you know what? Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. You know, we appreciate the support. And shout outs to Tim, because Tim has been like.
I'm on this side.
Shout out to Tim for landing all these big names. Like, literally, guys, you know what? If you guys are watching this, it's, you know, when you see somebody confirmed to come onto this show, it's like, you're like, oh my gosh. It's like, we did it. So shout outs to Tim for landing all these great names. So and guys, you know what? You expect more. It's gonna be more fun, more crazier. It's gonna be in your face. It's gonna be, you know, something that you're like, oh wow, I gotta tune in and see what's next, right? So and when this thing lockdown lifts up, trust me, you will be seeing us in different locations.
We'll be together.
That's it.
Hold on, this way, right? We'll be together. It'll be so nice. So it'll be cool. Guys, thank you so much. Is there anything else that we have to do? Anything? I don't think so. I think we're good.
We're good.
All again, right, guys, take care.
Take care, guys. YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, TikTok. Follow us. Subscribe. Take care, everyone. Good night.
All right. Let me end this bad boy.